Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and Saorita Sun, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. I'm sitting in for Bill, who will be back next week. Today is Friday, May 23rd, 2014, and we're headed into a long Memorial Day weekend. Bill is here live each weekday from 12:04 to 1 p.m. on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. You can find podcasts of the show at buckmastershow.com, and that's where you'll also find an archive of all past shows so you can listen at your leisure. And don't forget Facebook. You can find Bill Buckmaster there. Just type in his name and you'll be connected. And this week he is sending updates from his vacation in Europe. Quick mention of Bill's media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and the Saorita Sun, all of whom have links to the Buckmaster Show on their home pages. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Kathy Manser, volunteer coordinator for Honor Flight Southern Arizona, which is part of a national effort to take all of our World War II veterans to the memorial built in their honor in Washington, D.C. Also joining us is Charlie Wallab, a World War II Navy veteran who just turned 90 last week. Is that right, Charlie?
Yes, that's right.
Very good. Thank you for joining us. If you'd like to join the conversation, you are welcome to call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. What a pleasure to have you both here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Kathy, why don't you give us a sense of what Honor Flight is all about? It's been in the news quite a bit nationally lately, but give our listeners a brief rundown of what it is you do.
Well, Honor Flight's a national program, as you mentioned. It was started in the World War II Memorial was completed in 2004. A retired Air Force captain who was a physician's assistant got the idea to take World War II veterans to the memorial because by this time it was 60 years after the war. Most of them had not been there, didn't have financial means, had physical limitations. The spark of an idea, he recruited some private pilots. They flew the first flight in May 2005, and Honor Flight was born. So we have about 134 hubs across the country right now, and we're all nonprofit, privately funded, all run by volunteers. And so every community, that's their way of saying thank you to the World War II vets that served us so long ago, gave us our freedom.
Yeah, for those who are not familiar with it, that was not a misstatement. The World War II Memorial was not opened until 2004.
Yep.
And I happened to be in Washington, D.C. with our kids at that time, so we were there about a month after it opened. It is absolutely remarkable.
Yeah.
So we are really losing hundreds of World War II veterans every day. So there is really a sense of urgency about your mission.
Absolutely. We have the average age of our vets is 90. We always run right around 180 on our wait list. So, you know, when you're 90 years old and you have to wait a year to go on a trip, a lot of things can happen in a year. So we take them on a three-day trip here from Tucson. We leave one day and then tour the next and then come back. So it's one final last mission for them.
Absolutely. And I have not met one yet who has not come back and been absolutely thrilled with the way that everything just rolled out. You guys really care for them. You watch for them, and they see some things that I think are just really leave an impression.
Yeah, they feel like they're in the military again, huh, Charlie?
Yes. Charlie, we're going to get in a little bit of your background, and it is fascinating. You were in the Navy from 43 to 45. Those are the key years there. You were in the South Pacific. You were on the Spence, and the Spence, part of Admiral Halsey's Third Fleet, ran into a typhoon, and I want you to tell us what happened.
Well, it was December the 18th. We were taken back to the Philippine Islands, and our ship was screening the carriers. And little did we know that we were coming into a typhoon. Somehow we got into the typhoon. We couldn't get out. They kept following the typhoon. And as we were following the carriers, we started to list to the port side more than the left side, and we had trouble controlling the ship. The third day, we were in a storm about 3 days. On the third day, we lost the ballast of the ship, and it was about 11:30 in the morning. The ship capsized. There was 350 men on the ship, and most of the men were below decks. I happened to be very fortunate. I was above on the main deck, and I wasn't on watch that day, and there was two others, Hawkey and Miller. They were my buddies. And the ship capsized. It capsized to the starboard side, and then finally it bottomed up, and I was thrown into the water, and I happened to catch onto a life raft, which saved my life. Most of the men were below deck, and it was hard for them to get out. They went down with the ship.
350 men on board, 24 survived.
Yes, 24 survived, and I was one of the survivors.
And these waves were up to 70 feet high.
They were between 75 to 100 feet. The wind was over 120 miles an hour.
Incredible. So you got into this raft, and what happened?
Well, I got onto on this raft. There was about 35 others that managed to get on. And the waves were so high that every time the wave would take us down about 20 feet, we'd have to hold our breath and come back to the surface again. And every time that happened, we would lose two or three men. The storm subsided that night around 7:30 in the morning. That was December the 18th, 1944. I was one of the survivors. There was only 9 of us left. And we drifted for 3 days in the water. We didn't have any food or water. We prayed a lot. Mm-hmm. On the third night, we were ready to give up. We couldn't go any longer. We knew we were finished. So we all got together and we prayed together. And about an hour later, about 2:30 in the morning, this big black shadow was coming at us, and we didn't know what it was at first, but it turned out to be an aircraft carrier.
Incredible.
And we yelled and we screamed, and they finally sent another destroyer after us to pick us up, and that's why I'm here today.
That's absolutely incredible. You went on Honor Flight in October.
Yes.
Had you been to Washington, D.C. before? Had you seen the memorial before?
No.
Tell us what it's like. This is just a huge plaza, and it's really overwhelming the first
it
time
is,
you're there. Tell us about what it was like to walk on there for the first time.
Well, when I first came in, I noticed that they have every monument has a major battle that was taking place. They have a section for Europe, the battle in Europe, and they have the South Pacific. And of course, I was in the South Pacific, so I went to all the different sections of towns or countries where our ship was, and that impressed me. We took pictures. My son, who I haven't seen in 10 years, he came down with his family, and it was a great affair. Everything was fine, and the people treated us nice.
They really do take care of you
yes.
on the flight, start to finish. And as Kathy said, the average age is about 90. And yes. And tell us how you take care of them, because there are a lot of special needs.
Well, we couldn't do this without our community. People like Dan, I know you've been on the trip, but people step up that we call guardians, and sometimes that's a family member. These are people that pay their own way to go and escort these vets. We carry wheelchairs for everybody. Charlie uses oxygen.
Yes.
We had a portable oxygen tank for him. So we're really able to care for their needs, but the whole trip is really about their safety and all about them. So we take pretty much now one guardian for every vet, and that guardian will stay with the vet for the whole trip, make sure they're where they need to be, make sure they have water, make sure they're comfortable, having a good time. And then we go see the sites and take them there and bring them back safely.
And Honor Flight Southern Arizona has been in existence for what, about 3 years?
Yeah, we started in 2011. We flew our first flight out of here in September. We broke off from Northern Arizona simply because we have so many veterans here. And so they carry the top half of the state, and we carry the bottom half. And I'll tell you, on our June flight, we're going to break our 400 mark. I've flown 395, but this next flight we have going out will go over 400, which is really exciting.
And we actually had a flight just get back this week.
Yeah, I just got back on Tuesday night. So we had that was 29 vets on that flight. Yep. Yep.
And there is something special about June's flight.
Yes.
It's never happened before. Tell us a little
bit about
it.
This is our super senior flight. There is not anyone on this flight, that being relative, of course.
Yes.
There's no one on this flight that is under 90. So I'm taking 24 women and men, and they are ranging in age from 96 to 90. And so we wanted to get them flown before we break for the summer and before the fall. So everyone's over 90. I've got 2 women, and I've actually on this flight got 2 brothers. This is the first time we've ever had siblings going together. So looking forward to that flight, and that'll be June 25, 26, and 27.
Okay, we're going to take a short break here. It looks like a good time to do that. We're going to be back with Kathy Mansour and Charlie Wallab of Honor Flight Southern Arizona in just a couple of minutes.
If you want the great taste of bottled water without the hassle of going to the store, call Culligan and ask us about the Culligan bottled water delivery service either to your home or to your place of business. Culligan bottled water is as pure as it gets. The basis of the treatment of the bottled water is steam distillation. Its processing and its cleanliness is a healthy alternative to other beverages. Culligan water is fresh and delicious. One sip will tell it all. And since Culligan water is delivered right to your door, residential or business, you won't have to lug heavy bottles. Whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water taste better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Right now, for a limited time, you get 30-day full money-back guarantee, trial to include. Water dispenser free for 1 month. Initial 15 gallons of water free. Thereafter, $6 per month on the dispenser and $6.95 per 5-gallon bottle with an annual service agreement. Call Culligan at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
UA Biosphere 2's new ocean gallery and its large viewing windows give tour visitors a look under the surface of the existing Biosphere 2 ocean. Within the ocean gallery is the new Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit, which chronicles the storied 1940 journey of author John Steinbeck and marine biologist Ed Ricketts to the Gulf. Experience this remarkable journey for yourself. Come visit Biosphere 2 today. Info at b2science.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, who's on a well-deserved vacation in Europe. I'm here with Kathy Manser of Honor Flight Southern Arizona and Charlie Wallab, who is a U.S. Navy veteran from World War II, who's got just some incredible stories, and we thank you for being here. We want to talk a little bit more about Honor Flight and how you can help get our World War II vets to Washington, D.C. to see their memorial. Kathy, how can people help as far as volunteering goes, and then guardians? And we hear about the guardians, and a lot of people have their children as their guardian, but that doesn't have to be the case. It can be anybody.
Right. Anybody can go as a guardian. Because guardians pay their own way, sometimes family members aren't able to do that, and we do need to travel with a certain amount of experienced people. We always travel with medical staff. So our website is www.honorflightsaz.org. Stands for Southern Arizona. You can go on there. There's applications to become a guardian. There is a wait, believe it or not. We have not quite as long as the veteran wait list, but we do have a wait list for guardians. We put guardians through training because most of our guys at some point during the trip will need a chair, so we have to make sure they know how to transfer and whatnot.
Sure.
Then go on there. Of course, we always need financial support. And what I always tell everybody, whether you give $10, whether you give $100, you've had your part in thanking a World War II veteran, and our window of opportunity to do that really is closing. So that's another way you can help. If you just want to come out to the airport and cheer, that's one of the big highlights of the trip, is their send-off and their return, and that means more to these guys than you would ever know. And you can, and it's also an opportunity to teach your children if you have young children, because lost opportunity for World War II vets. They don't see as much of that because there's been so many conflicts since.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have gone on the flight a couple of years ago. I went as a guardian, and because I wanted that experience. And I wrote about it, but I went as a guardian, not as a reporter. And it was a very important distinction to make. And I've also been there several times when the veterans have been coming back. Charlie, one of my favorite things about the flight was we had a layover in, I think it was Ohio as we were going. And the airlines let people in the terminal know that the people about to get off the plane are World War II veterans, and the reception was absolutely incredible. Tell us what it was like for you as you're going through the airports and people are realizing who you are.
Well, I'll tell you, I thought that they forgot about us until I hit the airport. When we came out, I was in tears that so many people was welcoming us, and one woman came over and she says, "Thank you very much." And I turned to her and I said, "I thought you forgot us." And she says, "No, we didn't forget you. We'll never forget you." That's what she said. And I was impressed by the Arizona Rangers. They stood up there. There must have been about 16, 18 of them, and they were saluting to us, and they were so remarkable that it was unbelievable. And the same with the Air Force. There must have been over 100 of them. And it was overwhelming when we got there. It was terrific.
Well, you say it's overwhelming, but I can tell you it is such a privilege for us to be able to do this. And I hope you never get tired of hearing thank you for your service, because I think for some people it's just the best that they can sum up what it means, that what the entire nation did at that time. And the 40s was, I can't imagine going through that type of turbulence, I guess. But the nation really did pull together.
Yes. That war was so different than all the other wars, because everybody was involved in it. Even the people at home, they couldn't get the right food, they couldn't get meat, they couldn't get sugar, they couldn't get gas, and all of that, those products went to the Army and the Navy and the military. So they had a pretty rough home too. Just for an example, I had to get some tires for a friend of mine the other day. And she took it to one of the discount tire stores, and he says, "I think you need tires, ma'am." And he measured the tire. To me, it had like maybe a quarter inch left of thread. That's what they do. During the war, people rode around with ball tires. Right. I mean, they were ball tires. We had patches that we used to put on them.
Yeah.
You couldn't get tires.
Yeah, they had patches. I think the word sacrifice has been redefined
right.
a little bit.
And when I, yeah. when I say you couldn't get tires, I mean you couldn't get used tires.
Right. Yes. Absolutely. It was just a different world. Kathy, tell us how can somebody donate? They want to help get a veteran there. They can't go themselves, but they want to help out. What is the best way?
You guys can send in a donation. Our P.O. Box is P.O. Box 32649, 85751 in Tucson. That's on our website. You can also donate directly. There's a button that says donate now. You can go on there and actually do an online donation that way. And we have a lot of groups. If you belong to groups, a lot of we're very lucky to be supported by Rotaries and Legions and just different civil groups that give through their organizations to us also.
And again, that website is honorflightsaz.com for Southern Arizona.
.org.
.org. Okay, yeah. Thank you. And you can find all the information on their applications, everything. And we were talking earlier, and Charlie has a just a gut-wrenching story about World War II, being in a ship that was capsized, many people died. I've talked to several World War II veterans down in Green Valley who served, but they didn't see action, I guess is the way that they would word it. And there's some of those people feel like, in a sense, they don't deserve to go on honor flight.
Oh, and I would say absolutely we discount that. Here's the deal. Every one of them signed their name on what we like to call a blank check payable to the United States. And you know what? They did what they were told. If they would have been told to go, they would have gone. And let me put it in perspective from a veteran. I have a guy that was from Green Valley that went on the flight in October, and he was a pilot. And when we were having a reunion after we got back, he got up, we passed the mic and let them talk, and he got up and he said, "You know, when I was on the flight, my roommate was somebody that he packed parachutes stateside," he said, and he goes, "and I never got to tell him this, but I want to tell him now. I sure am glad that parachute opened when I jumped out of that plane."
Very
so
good.
I think, you know, the other thing, even I've had some guys that just, not just, but that were, did the mail. And I can tell you that the mail, when they were there, was very, very important. So there is no job that was unimportant. They all put their name on that check, and they were all willing to do what they did. And had they not, I mean, it was really an effort from everybody.
It took a nation.
It absolutely did.
And you talk about a world war. This was war everywhere. Yes. Charlie, how did World War II change you? How did it change you? You were very young at the time.
Well, I think I went in when I was 18. And it changed me because I went through the depression of 1929, and when the war started in 1939, everybody was working, and it made us all better people. We've all had jobs, and I was happy that I had what I had. I had a job at that time before I went into the Navy. I was working for Consolidated Aircraft, making 1924 bombers. And I worked there about 2 years, and then my number came up, and I went into the Navy, and I did like the Navy. I would have stayed in, but I just, after that tragedy, I packed down. I didn't want to stay in.
So you left the Navy after after the war, and
yes.
Then what did you go on to do?
When I was in the Navy, I was down in the engine room.
Right.
So I liked that. I liked working on engines, and when I got out, I got a job with International Harvester, working on big trucks. And then I learned how to spray, and I used to spray them.
Okay.
And then I worked with them for about 5 years. Then I worked for Chevrolet for 5 years. Excuse me. And then I decided to open up my own business. And I was in business for 50 years. And so was my two boys, my sons.
Very good. So you helped rebuild the country then, yes. Post-war.
Yes.
Well, I want to thank Kathy Manser. I want to thank Charlie Wallab for being with me today. You can find out more about Honor Flight Southern Arizona, again, on their website, honorflightsaz.org. And I really want to thank you both for being here. Such an important endeavor.
Yeah, thank you. And I'd invite anybody that's listening. June 27th, we return at 12:55 in the afternoon. It's a Friday. Well worth an hour of your time to come out and thank these vets. They'll appreciate it and it'll change you. So you're all invited to come out and welcome them home when they come back.
And it's a thrilling time to do to be at the airport. I've been there a couple of times when they've come home. I've seen Representative Ron Barber there. It is such a joy and privilege to be able to do that. I took my whole family and we just really enjoyed it. And again, Charlie, I hope you don't get tired of it, but thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
for letting me be here.
Coming up after the break, we'll have our Friday Roundtable, where we'll be joined by Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Dan Gibson, editor of the Tucson Weekly. We'll be right back.
Welcome to A Moment of Hope with Pastor Jim Cords of Desert Hope Lutheran Church.
Blessed to be a blessing. In the beginning, God called Abraham. We hear in Genesis 12:2, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. It was God's intent from the beginning to call a people who would be a blessing to the world. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. It is what God intends. As believers, God gives us a blessing so that we can be a blessing to the world. The world needs it. We can do it. So let's get going.
A Moment of Hope with Pastor Jim Cords is brought to you by Desert Hope Lutheran Church. If you're looking for a church home, please join us. We meet every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. at Gridley Middle School, located at 350 South Harrison Road, or go to deserthope.org for more information. Desert Hope, bringing lives closer to Christ Jesus.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, who's on vacation. It's now time for our Friday roundtable. We welcome Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, along with Dan Gibson, editor of the Tucson Weekly. Greetings, gentlemen.
I wish I had a second title. I should get one.
Just make one up. I mean, that's
just buy the paper. Wait, that's been done.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
it's too late.
Just recently sold. You can join the conversation by calling the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. Dylan, a little bit of breaking news this morning out of Tucson City Hall. What's going on?
Well, you know, we were racking our brains about what are we going to talk about. This hasn't been the most action-packed news week, and this morning, City Manager Richard Miranda dropped the not completely unexpected announcement that he's stepping down after 4 decades of public service, most of it in the police department, and the last several years as city manager.
So not a surprise then, but he's powerful.
Indeed. Yeah. You know, people tend to point their fingers at the mayor and council when it's actually here in Tucson, the city manager who's making the really basic decisions about which street to pave and how things are actually going to work in the city.
And mayors and councils come and go, and the manager doesn't.
Well, here in Tucson, actually, it's been in the past week or so that people kind of started talking about, well, is Miranda going to stick around for a while, or is he going to step down? It's sort of a pattern that, 3 to 5 years is about what you get out of being a Tucson city manager.
At least he's walking out under his own power.
He's not
which
getting
is,
canned right, like has been the few before him.
Wow. Okay, let's move on to the A-10. The House Armed Services Committee is fashioning some language that would save the A-10. Is this, there are two questions here. One is this good for Tucson? Yes. Is this good for the Air Force? You have to kind of look at both of those. And this is interesting because just, 6 weeks ago or so, the thing looked like it was on its way out, and now maybe not.
Well, it might still be good for the Air Force just as it's good for Tucson, but is it good for the federal budget?
Right.
That's, the larger question. I think, here in Tucson, we're concerned about keeping the A-10 flying and keeping those jobs here. But there's only so much money to go around, and the Pentagon is trying to make some difficult decisions about what to invest in and what to keep running, what to get rid of.
And really, Dan, are we concerned for all the wrong reasons here?
I think Tucsonans, I mean, I think the pragmatic thing to be most concerned about is what is best for this city, I guess. I mean, the machinations of the sort of larger elements of the federal budget are, I guess, beyond most citizens' control.
Right.
It's at this point, it sounds like the worst sort of public policy just to grab onto what's yours
right.
and say, these marbles are mine.
That's how the House of Representatives
works. The entirety of that works. There's sort of this weird, public critical mass about the A-10, though. I mean, there were a couple articles on national news sites saying, the A-10 should be saved, or this is why all the information about
you've
the A-10
got
is
McCain
wrong.
Jumping into the conversation after having
finally
been fairly quiet for a very long time.
He was taking an extended nap.
Yeah, but is this like going to bat for a rotary dial phone and in a high-tech communication age? I mean, and again, you know what? Let's face it. None of us is really qualified to say that. But I think the latest one was built 30 years ago. Is that what I was reading?
Well, they've done, many upgrades to the A-10 over time, replaced wings, upgraded the armaments, all of that. So these aren't, ancient airplanes. The Air Force has been looking at replacing them with a new plane that a lot of people say does not do the job as well. But One way or another, the A-10 is not going to be around forever. It's not going to be like the B-52 where they're going to be still flying 100 years after they were built.
Right. The question is that, I mean, even the replacement plane, what sort of war is that plane likely to be deployed in? I mean, this is we're sort of in a post-manned aircraft era of warfare. I don't know exactly. Well, I hope that we don't have to go to war with anyone that would require those
China
sort of armament. Yeah, exactly. If we do, we have larger problems than which specific plane we're using. But
Generally, the military plans to fight the last war, not the next one.
Yeah.
All right. And to come back to your original point to wind this up, the Washington Post was reporting, again, I know we've heard the number before, that cutting the A-10s would save $4.2 billion, that's with a B, over the next dollars over the next 5 years, which would allow the Air Force to invest in perhaps some other things that it needs. So, as you pointed out, the A-10 can do things that the F-35 can't do. We're probably not the ones to make the decision. But in the end, it bothers me that the politicians are.
That's what's – I mean, I guess there isn't like even a larger plan of what could be done. I mean, do we prepare ourselves for some sort of post-DM in this state society? I mean, you see Mesa bounce back from the sort of Williams fiasco and all that stuff, and unprepared for it. But I don't know if this
DM has other missions beyond the
A-10. For sure.
That's the major one and the major base of employment.
There will always be
something. The boneyard is not going to go away. It's
basically
impossible to move that facility.
There are, I mean, and one of our former co-workers and Mark Evans had an interesting point. You look at some of these bases, and some of the bases have thrived after their largest mission has left.
As they take on more tasks and expand and sort of diversify what they're doing.
Exactly.
And it's taken a while up in Mesa, which is where I'm from, Williams Air Force Base. Now ASU is out there. They've got Williams Gateway Airport, which is now really becoming quite a success as a feeder airport, and it's been wonderful, but it took a little bit of time.
Starting another airport in Tucson is not really
not the most likely.
A couple miles away from the other one.
It's
just make it one giant airport.
It's flawed.
Problem solved.
Yeah, so it's flawed, so they'll probably do it. So, okay, Sunnyside Recall. This was, I guess the word is a rout.
That's one way of describing it. Certainly, three-to-one pasting that went against the two incumbents who were recalled. And it was a much wider margin than even the backers of the recall were hoping for.
Yeah, when they even brought up to the minute, they were expecting, like, this is going to be close. We'll figure it out. We're hoping for the best. Like, the tide has turned.
Yeah, they were hoping to maybe recall just the one.
Right.
You know, this was all based on wanting to get rid of the superintendent, Manuel Escardo, the people who were pushing the recall, and they just needed to win one of those two elections, and they won both.
I don't know if he did himself any favors by immediately prior to the election asking to be taken off of the job, but suggesting, like, hey, maybe I'm done. You guys can pay me and I'll go away. That'd be great. So
threatening to take one's ball and go home.
Right.
Not
well, Sunnyside has a summer to, I guess, think about this and deal with it. Do you think, though, in the end, this is going to be a good thing?
It will take away a lot of distraction from the district. I mean, his tenure as superintendent, Escardo's tenure as superintendent, has been pretty controversial the last few years. And if the district can get back to focusing on educating the students rather than the politics behind what's the superintendent up to, what are these board members up to, how many of their families are being employed by the district, all of that, if they can get back to just, you know, teaching the children, that'll be much better for the district itself and its parents and students.
They seem marginally closer to being fixable than TUSD in a weird way, even though the overall corruption and the issues are sort of more apparent. You know, listen, if the end of the nepotism and all that stuff stops, that the district has quality buildings, they have decent enrollment, all this stuff. It's maybe less to take on than the bigger one, at least.
Sunnyside's enrollment has actually been going up a little bit compared to TUSD, where
people
it's been
want
down.
To send their children there.
Yeah,
so.
It's like, well, that's a good thing. Okay, well, we wish the best for them, certainly, and I'm glad I don't live there. So let's move on. Legislature will go into special session Tuesday for CPS, which I guess is going to now be called the Department of Child Safety and Family Services, and they're going to go in with a request by the governor for $60 million. Which is on top of $59 million that they had already okayed. A quote from the governor, "The time has come to create a separate agency with a new leadership, a new culture, and a new focus." She uses the word new a lot, but why do I sense I've heard this before?
It's because you have heard it before, and it doesn't really no one seems to be willing to take any responsibility for the fact that the legislature and the governor's office were complicit in gutting CPS to begin with. I mean, the nature of the problem is personnel, yes. It's also a structural problem, yes. But it's the fact that it was just a wildly underfunded office with people who were stretched beyond their means. I mean, we can point the fingers all you want, but it's, you know, I mean, we've heard this at the beginning of this was her big thing. This was going to happen, right. And then it didn't happen. And now we're going to drag the same people back. And,
you know, well, but one of the points that just springs to my mind is, do you basically just change the name of this agency, keep all of the same people working for it? I mean, on one hand, you have people who are experienced, who know these cases, who, you know what's been going on and might have some ideas about how to make things work better. On the other hand, these are the people who did drop the ball.
Yeah, and they're people who make $12 to $14 an hour chasing high-profile cases trying to make sure that children are safe. I mean, this is – when you look at the basic sort of idea of how we've chosen to do this, not just in Arizona. I mean, this is a problem across the country, but it's a problem that was wildly underfunded here. You know, it's just – we were just hoping for the best and just, you know, on a wish and a dream that we're looking for people who are barely making more than you'd make it in and out.
Right.
To look for after, you know, dozens, hundreds of cases.
Making it a cabinet-level agency doesn't automatically fix the problem. It actually takes money and people and time and effort.
And let's point out that these people are trained. They do not get a lot of money. And let's also face it, we three are in the media, and it is very easy for us to send flaming arrows in their direction. And sure. And this is one of those stories that crops up every 2 or 3 years because there's some outlandish case and people get outraged. And then we pounce on it, and then usually nothing happens. I'm just not convinced that $120 million is going to solve the problem here.
You need I mean, this is my personal take. My wife works and has worked in social work for a long time. You need a fundamental change in how we approach this situation. You know, you need more people. You need more time. You need an effort, concerted effort to say that every home gets visited, every call gets taken.
Right.
That is a money problem. It is a money and resource problem, but it's bigger than that to say that this is unacceptable to us as a culture. And I don't know that we're there yet. We have our level of shock every time something terrible happens to a kid, but we don't say, okay, this is the last one of these, and it won't be until we have, like, it's a social, an attitude towards social services as much as anything.
Well, speaking of shocking, we have found an Arizona Republican who's actually not running for governor. That would be Sheriff Joe Arpaio up in Maricopa County. Nearly every other registered Republican in the state seems to be. I think there are 9 or 10 candidates in the GOP primary for governor. Sheriff Joe says he's not going to. However, he will, and he's 81, run for re-election. I think he's up in a couple of years. Are we going to be a poorer people without him in the governor's seat?
As somebody writing about that, maybe. I mean, like, it would add a certain goal to it. I don't think he ever any intention.
There are still plenty of candidates in the race that we can write about. We don't really need in there as well.
It also allows if he were running, then he wouldn't have the attention of all these powerful people looking for his endorsement and his. You know, I mean, Christine Jones performed, sang at a roast for him. You know, Andy Thomas.
And Christine Jones immediately sent out a press release thanking him for his service as a sheriff.
Yeah. So I mean. If you want,
and for not running,
that was
the subtext of the press.
Yeah, if you want to be sucked up to by people and have a lot of attention, which seems to be his MO, this is a great opportunity.
Joe Arpaio is never going to run for governor.
He's never actually
planned on running for governor. He's more likely to run for president than he is to run for governor.
It's been
a great way for the past. You know, how many times has he hinted at this? You know, 6 times that he was going to run. It's a great way for him to raise money because he can raise money for any campaign.
Just for running for things.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
You hit the key.
He would have
earlier.
To resign.
Well, you
as
hit the
sheriff
keyword earlier,
run.
Which
so
is,
he's going to stay in his job.
Well, the word is attention, and he likes the attention on himself. Again, having worked up in the Phoenix area in the media, this is a guy who just loves the camera, man. He just absolutely loves it. And you know what? He's kind of a crack up. He's not as awful as people make him out to be. Some people just are absolutely in love with him and think that it's okay to be tough on the bad guys, but I think that you should be tough on him. Perhaps for the right reasons, and he's not always there.
Or picking, you know, actually, yeah, again, the same thing with the, you know, the city of El Mirage might beg to differ, you know, of like what, it's just, when I worked up at the Phoenix New Times, there was a press conference in front of our building every month, and it was just good to see him, like, hey, Joe, how's it going? Genial human being in that context, but it was another subpoena.
Joe even loves the reporters who bash him.
Yeah.
He likes the attention.
He
calls people up to thank him for when they write terrible stories about him.
Okay, and I got to tell my Joe Arpaio story. I was on the news desk, on the weekend desk at the Arizona Republic once, and he called and said, "Dan, I'm out at the mall signing bobblehead dolls. Why isn't someone here?" You know, I'm just speechless.
Because you're at a mall signing bobblehead dolls?
I'm going to guess it was Metro Center, is my guess. Just a hunch.
I can't remember where it was, but he was something else, and not an entirely awful person at all. But I'm glad I'm in Pima County sometimes. Okay, I think that we are running out of time, unfortunately. I am going to say thank you to both of you guys for being here today. I also want to say congratulations to all the high school graduates who are moving the tassel this week. My son just graduated last night. It was a very cool thing. The first graduating class at Walden Grove High School in Sawarita. So congratulations to all of those kids. Yes, we're glad to get through. Okay.
We got him out.
Hey,
so far.
He got a scholarship to U of A. He can't be all that bad.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, I want to thank Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com, Dan Gibson of the Tucson Weekly for being our guests on the Friday Roundtable. Hope you both have a great weekend. Coming up, we're going to have Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. We will be right back.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views,
but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerville Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, home of the 19th annual Silver City Blues Festival over Memorial Day weekend in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. For more on the great places to stay and things to do, log on to southwestnewmexico.org. Now here's Matt Russell, food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business and, of course, award-winning publicist. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Dan. You know, it's Friday afternoon. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. What a shock.
And it's a long weekend.
Indeed. I've got my work cut out for me, indeed.
Terrific. Well, what do we got going on?
Well, you know what, Dan? Our good friends over at Kingfisher on Grant Road are launching their annual summer road trip this weekend, which, as you know, takes us on a virtual tour of six of the nation's most delicious regions. Now, the first two-week stop is a road trip menu showcasing cuisine from California and Hawaii, which means lots of fresh seafood like Dungeness crab and ahi tuna and a chipino. And even the beverages are going to be taking a regional flair, like a delightfully hoppy IPA from the Maui Brewing Company. This is one road trip I always look forward to, Dan, so why not give Kingfisher a try this weekend for a taste of the coast?
Sounds terrific. Now head a little farther north, and what do we got going on?
Yeah, whenever I hear about a new barbecue joint opening up, I immediately roll up my sleeves and put on the old Buckmaster bib, and I'll be excited to head up to the new Dickey's Barbecue Pit this weekend for their big grand opening, 7350 North Oracle Road. It's all about the hickory there, beef brisket, pulled pork, some righteous racks of ribs. And if you swing by tomorrow, Dan, they're going to be giving out lots of free merchandise. So I say it's the perfect weekend to get your cue on, so follow the smoke up to Dickey's.
Oh, good barbecue is tough to come by, but you swear they got it?
They got it, the goods, man. They got it.
Okay, let's go on to the next one. What else you got?
Yeah, you know, after 18 years of serving Southern Arizona, the Metropolitan Grill up on Oracle and McGee, they're going to be closing their doors after dinner service on Monday. And all weekend long, they're going to be honoring all military, law enforcement, veterans, and the like with a buy one, get one free entree special for either lunch or dinner. And if McMahon's Prime Steakhouse or the Old Pueblo Grill are more convenient, both restaurants are going to be offering the same special as well. So a fitting and delicious way to honor those who have served, Dan.
Well, terrific. And give that address again.
That's the Metropolitan Grill on Oracle and McGee.
Fantastic. Okay, and what else you got for what's coming up in your column?
Yeah, you know, on June the 7th, the annual Arizona Bacon Fest is going to be returning to Tucson, and I sat down with two restaurateurs who were among the nearly 40 eateries serving up their ideas for the perfect bacon dish. So how do they plan to pledge allegiance to pork? Read my column at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or pick up a copy wherever newspapers are sold.
Okay, but before we let you go, a bacon fest? Now, tell me a little bit about this. And I'm not a foodie.
This is out at the Keno Veterans Memorial Stadium on June the 7th, starting at 6 p.m. Almost 40 restaurants are all coming out with a different dish that incorporates bacon, either Canadian or pork belly or pancetta or that classic American strip. Bacon has to be included in their dish for them to be there on the grounds. There's even bacon beverages that are going to be there. I'm going to be a judge at the event, so I actually have to eat and drink everything on site. And so if you love bacon, this is the place to be, Arizona Bacon Fest. You can Google them and you can learn it all.
Now, they're going to have funny names like, you know, Heart Attack Delight, things like that, or are we just not even going there?
I sure hope not.
Okay, very good. I appreciate it. That's Matt Russell, food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business. Thank you for helping us plan our weekend.
Have a delicious weekend, Dan.
Very good. You too. Bye. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for year-round residential and commercial water needs. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of producer Rosemary Brandt and Bill Buckmaster, who is still on vacation, I'm Dan Scheer, wishing you a wonderful and safe Memorial Day weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.